I think that was you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May 21st, the Board of Supervisors approved SUP 1401, Tim Reese's special use permit request for landscaping material supply business. The Technical Review Committee also heard three projects, one site plan for Grace and Glory Lutheran Church, and SUP request from Jeffrey Stoneman for a kennel, and also a SUP request from Joyce Parr for a educational facility. And those will be on the docket for next month's Planning Commission meeting.
Thank you. This time we'll have our first of two public comment sections. Anyone wishing to speak about any other matter other than the item that's on the agenda tonight can come forward and speak. You're limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one willing to come forward, we'll end the public comment section this time. And our next agenda is approval of minutes from the April 23rd meeting. And I have one change that said Mr. O'Brien wasn't here, and he was here. He actually showed up about 2 minutes after we started, but there is comments down at the thing where he was here. And so we do need that minor change because he was here. Anyone else? Anyone want to make a motion?
I'd like to go ahead. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'd like to make a motion that we accept the minutes with the change of Mr. O'Brien being present.
Have a motion by Mr. Gaines, a second by Mrs. Eager. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. There are no public hearings tonight, no presentations, and our agenda item for the site development plan, SDP 1403, Beulah Baptist Church, will be held for this time.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, our microphone is out of order tonight, so I'll have to make sure you all can hear me. This is Site Development Plan 1403 for Beulah Baptist Church. They are proposing additions in three phases, master plan in three phases, and it would be to construct an 800-seat capacity sanctuary, 10 classrooms, and a 70-by-80 multi-purpose area. It's located in the Columbia Election District Rural Preservation Planning Area on 9.497 acres of tax map 23A20 in zoned agricultural. And there was a site plan back in 2000 for an addition that was approved. This is a zoning map. There's the parcel here, the rectangular parcel. Again, just a little over 9 acres, Kent Store Road, excuse me, Way. This is an aerial photograph here of the applicant site sketch plan. And this shows, I believe this shows the full build out of all three phases. And you can see the rather large parking area and landscaping and stormwater management facility on the lower left. A few photographs for the commission. This is showing the existing front exterior of the church. Southern side of the building. This is the northern side of the existing building. This is the rear of the building. This is where most of the improvements would be concentrated, and also the additional parking that was required to support all the square footage. Okay, so currently there are two existing entrances off of Kemp Store Way. VDOT, during the technical review committee process, VDOT commented that they may want to have an engineer come out there and develop a site distance improvement plan that would maximize the amount of site distance that can be obtained by selecting optimal entrance locations on the church property. Any new parking would have to meet the parking setback requirement of 25 feet. And for places of worship, parking requirement is one space with four thick seats or 75 square feet of assembly area, whichever is greater. And with that calculation, based on the build out, square footage of build out, they are proposing 351 parking spaces, and with this sketch plan tonight, per the ordinance, they're requesting the Planning Commission approve more than 40% over the minimum required parking. So that's a requirement per the ordinance. And I believe the request letter is in your packet. And so existing parking is gravel, it would remain gravel, and potentially minimize the impact of on-site stormwater maintenance. The sketch plan appears to meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance. Of course, the final site plan is required. Again, this is proposed in three phases, and if the Planning Commission approves this, and they can come forward with any or all three phases. And it's my understanding they would come forward with final site development plan of phase one. And once we signed off on that, then they could apply for building permits. So it does meet ordinance requirements, and we're recommending approval. And also I have the suggested motion with the parking requirement approval also. Mr. Hackler is here, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask Mr. Tuggle a question?
Yes.
Your math is better than mine.
Oh, I don't know about that, but okay.
Well, we'll find out. Do I understand this 317 is the minimum required?
I calculated 317 because the ordinance says whichever is greater. Mm-hmm. So I took the greater calculation to be a little more conservative.
Well, the reason I ask is because I think what I just did was took 140% of 317, and it's 443.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure they need.
Okay.
I don't have any objection to the additional spaces, but I'm not sure they really need it, because I don't think it is more than 40%. I guess it depends on how you calculate.
What was that calculated on?
Well, it was calculated on one space per 75 square feet of assembly area.
I mean the 40% increase.
The 40%, that's a code requirement.
I mean, where did you calculate that they had more than 40%, I guess what I was asking?
It was initially calculated, and I think maybe it wasn't finalized for the sketch plan, but if the Planning Commission wants to approve it, it would be there if they needed the.
I don't have an objection to you doing it, but I don't really think it's necessary. If you know, it would be belt and suspenders if you did approve it. So if you're of a mind to do it, go right ahead. But I just want to make sure it was. You're not really setting much of a precedent, because I think it's
the seating capacity would be 200, and then but the square footage makes it 317, right?
They're proposing quite a bit of square footage with that build out, and so it was calculated based on that, because the code is not very specific, it says assembly area. So they're already proposing 317, and they're proposing 341, I believe. So, excuse me, 351.
It may be that the original calculation was done on the more conservative number.
I think so. Your architect, Mr. Sanders,
yes,
I believe he architect. Yeah, I think he. I think that's actually his number based on the square footage of the buildings.
I don't want to be throwing a monkey wrench into it. I just want to bring make you aware of the make you aware of my shortcomings as a mathematician.
But in this case, you're correct.
Even blind dog, Mr. Zerat.
Exactly.
So that would just be actually 34 above the required amount.
34 spaces.
And they're nowhere close. If you do calculate the way I did, they're nowhere close to being 40% over. This you added this provision of the zoning ordinance because a lot of times, especially with commercial uses, people will come in and pave big areas that are always empty. And the idea was to provide adequate parking, but not overkill it. And I think this demonstrates that you can have more than the minimum, but not so much that it is sort of overkill.
Yeah. And with this one, too, there's going to be gravel, which is allowed in church parking lots, and that would help with stormwater runoff and something like that. It's not an impervious surface. So. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Tugwell or the applicant? I know that Mr. O'Brien sent me an email because his mother just got out of surgery. He wasn't able to get here. One with regard to on-site septic, but that would be something that health department would take care of automatically, and that would have to be approved by the health department.
It would.
And he wondered about the potential traffic issues at peak time. And I think that VDOT is requesting that they hire an engineer to, and they may have to try to get an exception for the site distance.
Well, that's correct. VDOT had some concerns about the site. They think that it could possibly be improved. And so when the final site plan is submitted, we forward that to VDOT. And hopefully the applicant would work with VDOT to modify the site distance. And so before VDOT signs off on the final plan, that would have been.
I think they recommended a turn lane or something. Well, as I remember in the package also.
Yeah, I think on build out with the biggest, the 800 seat sanctuary, they would have to have almost like a merge lane also to while getting on.
Well, they both concerned sides. About site distance to obtain optimal. In other words, they may have to revise their entrances to accommodate for the capacity.
Anyone else have any other questions? If not, do we have a motion?
We have to allow for a public hearing?
No.
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 Okay. Well, I'll make a motion then. I move that we approve site development plan 1403, a sketch site plan in three phases to construct an 800-seat sanctuary, 10 classrooms, and a 7x80 multi-purpose area with respect to the 9.497 acres of tax map 23, section A, parcel 20, subject to the conditions outlined in the staff report. And
do we need to add?
It sounds like we don't need to add the final part.
Is that correct?
I don't. If my arithmetic's right, you don't need to. Okay.
I second it.
Steve, can I ask you, should I keep going, or is that you think that's good?
If it's good enough for Mr. Payne, it's good enough for me.
Okay.
Well, you were trusting soul, as you know.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Zimmer to approve, a second by Mrs. Eager. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you. Okay, we have no subdivisions, and our unfinished business tonight is a comprehensive plan review discussion. And we're going to talk about infrastructure tonight. Mr. Stevens was going to be here, but he had some personal commitments.
Yeah, he had to cancel, and we'll try to get him later. But he's if y'all have any questions from Mr. Stevens, we'll be glad to forward those to him and get you some answers via email or at the next meetings. And okay. Mr. Lindsay has a little brief he's prepared.
Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, I'll be doing a very quick discussion of the comprehensive plan tonight. As they mentioned, Mr. Stevens sends his regrets. Also, as Mr. Tugwell mentioned, the microphone isn't working, but it is recording, so it's not coming through the speakers, but everything is being recorded for posterity as usual. First, I just wanted to very quickly go over, and this is all information that I went over with the board last week, so I just thought it would be appropriate to share it here as well. A quick look at what the comprehensive plan is. As it's general in nature, it intends to guide harmonious development and promote the health, safety, and general welfare of inhabitants. It designates the general location, character, and extent of each feature, as you recall when we amended it for the waterline at the end of last year, and it designates where existing land or facilities will be extended, removed, etc. This is a summary of what's in Virginia State Code. The comprehensive plan must cover long-range development recommendations, the transportation plan, a map of road improvements, measures to provide for affordable housing, and road impact fee service areas. It may cover, and generally they do cover, but are not required to cover, land use, community facilities, historical areas, groundwater protection, the CIP, zoning and subdivision recommendations, utilities, and districts to be designated. I find that it's important to remember which ones are absolutely necessary versus which ones are just commonly seen. And that gets us to the timeline. There's been some complications with the timeline for a number of reasons. We're on just a very tight turnaround, trying to have everything done by the end of the year. At the same time, it seemed very important to get the public involved as soon as possible so that they didn't feel like decisions were being made without them getting a chance to do input. Unfortunately, it looks like there are some conflicts in some of it, so we are happy to try and add additional dates and locations to make it more accessible both to members of the commission and to any citizens who are concerned that they're not going to be able to make it out or get whatever it is that they need to say heard. As you know, we've made it through April and most of May. We're presently in the process of putting up the ads for the first three public meetings, the Fork Union in the Morris Room here, and in Lake Monticello. The idea, of course, being that it would be in a number of places so that people don't have to trek all the way to Palmyra if they don't want to or can't. Also in June, we will be reviewing and updating the third set of three chapters, and then in July, the final three chapters. Once that's done and we've established what the goals and priorities are, we'll be able to review and update the implementation guide and advertise for the next public input, which will just be one. It'll be a larger, probably more formalized meeting because by then we'll have more to show, but it will still obviously be open to public input and reaction to what we have to show at that time. And then also in September, we'll be reviewing and updating the introduction, the executive summary, and the vision. The reason that those things are coming after the rest of the plan is, well, there's no way to do an executive summary unless you have the document. And similar problems would come up with the introduction and the vision, so it's best to do those once we've gone through the plan. In October, the updated draft with everything that we have up to that point will be presented to the Planning Commission for comments and additional revisions in anticipation of November's public hearing at the Planning Commission, where the final revised version will be put up for approval and recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, which brings us hopefully to December, where we will advertise for the Board of Supervisors public hearing and finally put the final plan with Planning Commission's final recommendations in it up for Board of Supervisors approval, and hopefully will be done by the end of the year. And that is all I have. I'm happy to take any questions about infrastructure.
I just wanted to add one thing to what Jay his brief that he gave the board, since he gave this brief to the board last week. The town of Columbia gave a presentation last week where they were contemplating dissolving their charter, and that could impact how we proceed with the comp plan and some of the approval dates.
I would mention that. Yeah.
And I just talked to
stuff that we've already contemplated.
That is something you're going to have to do, assuming that. The way this is going to work is the first step in this is the county and the town enter into a contract. Now, I've written a draft of the contract and provided it to the town's attorney. She's in the process of reviewing it. It's pretty simple, so I don't think that's going to be controversial. Once that's approved, then the town applies to the court for an order ordering a referendum, and that would be at the November election. There's a little bit of not a great deal, but a little bit of time pressure now, so that we need to get on with it. Assuming the referendum to annul the town's charter passes, then there's some housekeeping, court clean things up with orders and whatnot, but that would in effect abolish the town as a municipal corporation, and it would revert to unincorporated status with the county. At that point, we will need to do things like make sure a comprehensive plan covers the town. We will need to amend the zoning ordinance to provide the zoning map to provide zoning for the town. There are other things we have to do, but they really probably wouldn't involve the commission, because they're the subdivision ordinance is not limited in terms of area, so it would apply automatically. So we will need to be thinking about that. The report from the mayor was that there are 17 registered voters, so rooting for 9.
I do have a question, and I've expressed this to Mr. Stewart earlier today. I was concerned that a lot of this scheduling and so forth was done without consulting with us. Just our common courtesy, I think that they should have asked us a little bit about that, because we sort of had made up a plan. I don't see any problem of having these public hearings, but we should have been consulted about the dates and so forth like that. In fact, two of the dates I'm going to be out of town. The third date, I've got a dentist appointment, and well, or what they might do that day. It's just that the only reason that way I even found out about these actual meetings, when they were going to be, I happened to look at the county administrator's report online. It had this beautiful picture and telling the dates and where they were going to be and so forth like that. So we need to be in the loop. We are responsible by code for the comprehensive plan. And, I understand that somebody maybe from the Board of Supervisors or the administrator decided this. But just out of common courtesy, I think we should have been included in the loop.
Mr. Chairman, I think you're right. And I think what you probably ought to do is the chairman sets the agendas in conference with the director of planning. And what you may want to do is see if you can massage these dates, taking account of whatever the commission's the problems are with the commission's dates, the ones you noted and whatever others there may be, and see if you can massage those dates, take care of that. I understand your observation, what should have been done, but that's history. let's fix it. We need to fix it.
We can move dates around, and we can add dates as it suits the commission.
I don't think we need to be in every single meeting, but at least somebody, one of us, should be at least one of these meetings. You know, somebody should be at. I will try to make it on the 10th if I can. I know we've got a meeting on the 11th also, but I'm going to be out of town on the 12th and 17th. I don't know other schedules. I know the digger had called me about a question about tonight's agenda earlier today, and unbeknown to her about this date, she signed up for a class on the 10th.
Yes, that morning.
So, you
this
know,
morning.
This morning she did. Yeah. So, we just need to have a little bit of coordination. I know what we were trying to do is to try to get like three chapters done at a time, and then like on a night to night to try to have some type of presentation to sort of get some ideas and not push 13 chapters on the public all at one time. We just thought that was a much simpler method, and maybe I'm wrong. I know that the last time the Planning Commission did a review of the comprehensive plan, it took 5 years, almost 5 years. So
we've got better leadership this time, Barry, so we won't have that problem.
I want to go back to the referendum in Columbia. There's only 17 registered voters. Is there a quorum that's needed? I know you're looking for 9, but...
My memory is, you don't have a quorum, but my memory is that it's a majority of the registered voters in the town. Okay. I need to check statute with that.
So if 6 registered voters show up and vote, if you've got 4, then it passes.
No, I think it's got to be a majority of the registered voters.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter how many vote, 9 have to vote yes, it sounds like.
I think that's right. And the next question you're going to ask me is, if they don't get 9, what happens? And
okay.
I'm going to leave the room right now.
No. All right. Well, I didn't ask the question.
I don't see that provided in the statute. I've thought about that, and I'm not sure what you do if that happens.
If nobody volunteers to run for mayor and all that other stuff, what can you can't make?
No, wait a minute, Mr. Zimmer. Just let's take this out of the conditional tense, because nobody has run for town council for the last 2 or 3 elections.
Well, there you go.
All of them are write-ins.
Wow.
The town is simply not self-sustaining anymore.
Right.
Well.
And that's why they're doing this. But I'm going to tell you that I bet Mr. and Mrs. Hammond are going to be beating on a lot of doors between now and November.
It says in here there's 38 registered voters in the Flu Valley Review article.
I don't know, but the 17 was the figure that Mr. Yeah. Hammond gave at the board meeting.
That's what they said last week.
Okay. I was just... That's where I got my information from earlier today. So.
Let's put it this way. There's not many.
I know. And the mayor and his wife are both on the town council.
Correct. Uh-huh.
And that's not a conflict?
Well, actually, it's not. Because they're not, one's not beholden to the other one for the job. It's not like an appointed job. And they're both eligible to vote.
I mean, we won't have to worry about that water stuff.
The town hall is it. I just heard yesterday that there's some question about the title of the town hall, so their attorney's looking into that. I'd always heard that it was owned by the church, and it was just on loan to the town. But I will tell you that knowledge is what I would call folklore, because I have not done the title. I don't know anything official about it. She's looking into it, so her knowledge will not be folklore. It will be at least significantly.
And we are already planning commission for the town of Columbia.
Well, getting back to your dates, Barry, I can definitely be at the 10th and the 17th meetings. I cannot be at the 12th, so I can cover at least 2 of them.
Yeah,
along with whoever else can make it.
Yeah, and I can make the 17th was the one
That's the one at Lake Monticello.
That's the Lake Monticello. Yeah, that's the one that definitely we'll be able to make.
I can be the I'd be the 12th and the 17th.
And again, the goal of these, as we were directed to set them up, was basically the how and whys of comp plans and why we're doing it, why we're doing a review, just for the general public's information, and then solicit their input on what generally what they think the comprehensive plan should look like.
Yeah. The main reason I wanted to get a little bit further into it was the fact that only two of us have ever been involved in comprehensive plan before, and I wanted people to get an idea of what we were trying to do before we started getting more.
Yeah, but I understand.
We've got it worked out. My ears are not red like they were earlier today, and I don't want to get angry. But I'm going to try to be there at the 10th, and we've got other people that's going to be there at all of them. So we, you know, like I say, we'll go from there.
Okay.
And then y'all will compile the public comments.
Correct. We're there to get that information for you all and put it in a format to feed it back to you all for future discussions.
Jay, can you go back one? Okay, I was concerned with, November public Planning Commission public hearing, and then we submit revision to the Planning Commission. Is that from the public hearing? We'll get their revisions or your revisions?
Yes, previously in October, you will have seen the draft as far as it's been taken. At that point, you'll presumably pick it apart and tell us what needs to be changed. And then those will be back for the public hearing. And of course, you're not obligated to say yes to it if it turns out there's more issues. But hopefully we
do we really think that we can achieve that schedule? I mean, that to me looks like a very aggressive schedule. Yeah. And what we found out so far, we basically got through three chapters at this time. So we're actually about three chapters behind. We're trying to do one of those chapters somewhat today, and we're going to be behind on that also. The next chapter is the transportation chapter, and as well as I remember, in the mandate, there's a lot we're supposed to do with the transportation. But didn't the VDOT just have a meeting or getting ready to have a meeting about the 5-year plan for Savannah with the Board of Supervisors?
Six-year plan.
Didn't they just have that, or?
Yes.
So we could have that information to go along with that, and so we need to acquire that
And you're correct regarding transportation. The transportation plan, the map of road improvements are required, so those do have to be there.
Because I think in looking at the mandate about the comprehensive plan, when you get down to like 3 or 4 chapters, and then when you get down to the transportation part, you've got a bunch, and then you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, a lot of mandates that we're supposed to use. So I just I had looked at that to read it again lately, but as well as I remember that, sort of like that. On tonight's topic of the infrastructure, I would like to, for us, to sort of, when we do this infrastructure chapter, know from Mr. Stevens and the board what their real plans are. The last time we worked on the infrastructure plan, you look at where the pipeline was supposed to go, and all of that, and what we were trying to do, we were trying to solve the problem of the lowering of the water table in the county. Our main purpose was to bring water to Zions Crossroads, Palmyra, and parts of Fort King. I do know that Mr. Stevens has developed, I think, a 20-year plan to try to make Fort Union fixed and whole with the county?
Yeah, he's working on making that system solid.
Several options.
Yeah.
The board did push that in a particular direction last time, and there's going to be I think because of some advertising time limits, it's going to be considered by the ordinance to raise the rates is going to be considered at I think it's the first meeting in July.
Also, you know, we need to know what our real plans are about water at that crossroads as we put our infrastructure in, because recently we had to change the comprehensive plan to match something that the Board of Supervisors
already
voted
approved
on prior to us changing the comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. And so I have concerns about because, you know, when you have a plan, you need to think about that plan, what it does. Myself, and this is just my personal observation, everybody can disagree with me on this, but that pipeline that they voted for up the eastern side of the county, to me, I can't see where it accomplished what we had in our transportation plan for the county. I can't see where it really helped us getting the main thing we wanted to do, was get water design across from us. And at the time we changed that ordinance, I made a comment, the fact that from a planning perspective, I thought it should have been ran up 15, and it could have covered all the areas that we had in the transportation part of the comprehensive plan in 2009.
Well, I think the answer to that is you get the input from the staff, from Mr. Stevens in particular, and then you determine what you think is appropriate way to develop the infrastructure, and that should be your recommendation. If the board, you know, the board is not bound by the recommendation, but I think that's the way you should approach it.
I agree, and that's what our plan was tonight. Mr. Stevens had he was going to come to us and talk to us tonight, and that didn't work out, and I can understand he had personal situation.
The point is, we did it kind of, your observation was it was kind of backwards last time, and it was. So the way you're talking about doing it is the right way to do it.
Do we have that direction from the board?
What
do we have that direction from the board
what
to
direction?
Know what they intend to do? How are we going to get Water Designs Crossroads? Has that been decided and talked about?
Well, that's my point. Mr. Stevens is he's obviously got a lot of expertise on this subject, and they've got certain discussions going on, and he can brief you on the status of those. But then it should be your determination how you want to have that implemented, and you put that in the draft plan. That's what your recommendation is to the board, and then it's up to the board to either accept that recommendation or do something else.
I think right now there's a possibility of planning on getting water and sewer from the prison. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of the scenarios. That's
I went to one of the ROI meetings.
There's a contract that the county has with the DOC for water and sewer from the prison.
And we have a contract already signed?
Yes. The county doesn't have to do it, but the county has the right to do it.
Well, one thing too, in our other discussions, we've talked about moving that CPA, Design Crossroads CPA, westward. And it would, for many reasons, it may be a logical thing to do for roads and the fact that we get closer to our source of water and sewer. So that's part of our discussion we've had in these other chapters.
Well, you're going to also get information from Mr. Stevens about other possible sources of water, including Louisa. But there are several others that he can brief you on.
That's why I said we needed to try to know that so when we do that part, we'll...
You sure do. You're exactly right.
So without that information tonight, isn't it difficult to move forward with the infrastructure chapter.
Yes. I think so.
Yeah, okay.
My hope for salvaging the evening was to get whatever additional questions from you that I could pass on to him, and that way whenever we get a witness interview, you already have those answered as well.
Okay.
If you don't, I completely understand.
So it's appropriate for us to ask these questions right now?
Answer you'll probably get is that I'll ask Mr. Stevens, but yes, okay. That would be preferable.
All right, so the questions are, what sources of water do we have available, or can we acquire to serve Palmyra, Fork Union, and Zions Crossroads? Is there anything else that needs to be served?
Sewage issues sewage. Were the same.
Yeah. What?
Sewage,
yes.
Along with the water.
Right.
The main issue right now that they're addressing is Fort Union and Zions Crossroads. The problem with, they had possibilities at Palmyra one time about the sewage situation, but the EPA?
DEQ
kind of put a squash on that. And that was
right
part
here.
Of,
you
yeah, that's, that can't be enlarged with the DEQ or whatever, so that was part of the infrastructure plan and as far as the water and sewer. The cell power plant that we've got is pretty complex and it has been updated somewhat over the last couple of years, so that's pretty much in play. I do have concerns myself when you talk about infrastructure about the broadband in the county and the fact that it's not available in a lot of areas of the county, and I see other counties also are looking at this, and other counties have gotten grants and so forth like that. I know basically there's only certain areas in the county that CenturyLink has got broadband service to.
Jay and I actually went to a meeting in Keysville last month that was talking about providing how to better provide rural broadband in Virginia, and we can forward you that information because it was a very good presentation.
Yeah, we have to, and they did some nice maps of our coverage and assets for Luban, which we're going to try to incorporate some of those visuals into the comprehensive plan. And we're happy to
it showed the dead spots and things like that.
Vertical assets, dead spots, a bunch of different maps. One thing that they said that really stuck out at that, it really seemed like the most promising thing to do is just have the understanding that whenever, and this is already in the comprehensive plan, as a very brief mention, but when, for example, they dig to put down that pipeline, that would be an appropriate time to have contacted Verizon or Comcast or whomever, since it's already dug up, presumably along 250, we would let them know that the ground's open, and that is a pretty cost-effective way for us to do it because we're essentially just letting them. And that part, that still leaves the question of last mile, which is always the heavy cost, but it would get us a lot closer.
Have we done that? Have we contacted Verizon? And
we have not contacted Verizon. We need to...
Because the hole is being dug now, so right. It might be too late.
I think the hole's been filled in.
Yes, I think it has.
But he's talking about the hole for the water lines.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about...
Yeah, I think that's fiber optic on 250.
Uh-huh.
And I think that project's, looking at it as I was coming over today, it looks like it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people, there's more fiber optic in this county than people know.
Yes.
Because there is a fiber optic station in my community that people mostly don't know about. The fact is, where they redid the gas plant there at Antioch, that building below that is actually fiber optics. And that's owned by that, I can't think of the name of the company. The fiber optics runs through Fluvanna County all the way to Washington, D.C.
It's associated with the Department of Defense.
But anyway, there is a lot. Every time you see these white poles and the orange on top,
Yeah, because it's, well, think, because it's the Department of Defense.
I think it might be too. I'm not sure of that, but I think so too.
Mm-hmm. Can we go back to Palmyra's water and sewer? Fred, you'll probably remember this, but when the originally approved Camp Friendship development, we were anticipating that that would serve that, the sewer would serve that. And we were anticipating that we would probably have water from Aqua Virginia to serve the high school and then on to Palmyra. Since that's gone, the approval for what's approved, what's available now, what can be done now, it's, there are different circumstances. We don't have the water, we don't have the sewer. So for the plan to continue to assume that we have this, it encourages things, people to come in and want to develop.
If you're talking about drawing in the boundaries for the growth area in Palmyra?
Yes, for Palmyra, but
That's certainly an appropriate subject for your discussion.
And I guess what I'm saying is that I'm asking you, we have in front of us two, first there was Poplar, now Poplar Ridge, and it was Walker Ridge before. Is it appropriate to continue to encourage this type of development when we don't have the infrastructure and we're not sure that they can provide the infrastructure?
Well, I think the answer to that is that you're one of the things the Planning Commission is intended to do is to provide the knowledge of the community, because you're, as citizens of the community, you know what's going on. You get professional advice from your staff. The one thing that you've heard me say before, and you will hear me say again, and I'm sure the planners will say the same thing to you, when you see these lines on these maps, those are not hard lines. Those are not like zoning lines. Those are general areas where we think whatever it is should happen. So if it's growth area type development at 1 to 4 units an acre or whatever it is in Palmyra, you're entitled to use your local knowledge and say that that doesn't mean that every square inch of this growth area needs to be 4 units an acre. This area, whatever it might be, in your knowledge is an area that is not particularly suitable for growth, and you wouldn't encourage it to go there. And I think I know this is it's a counterintuitive kind of a thing to remember, but when you look at those maps, those lines look very solid, but they're not. They're not intended to be.
Right, and even if we know that, and we agree about that, the developer on the outside sees the line and said, whoa, that's what they want, that's what I'm going to bring.
Well, that's the risk he takes, because these are conceptual. Now, obviously, if you're sure that you're going to, that you don't want anything above, X line, for some reason it's over a ridge or something like that, if you don't want it to be there, then it's certainly appropriate to amend that map. I'm not telling you not to. Mm-hmm. But if you had, if you're aware that a particular area that's shown as being designated for a growth area on this map is not appropriate for growth, then you're entitled to interpret that map in light of your local knowledge.
Okay. Well, see, as another thing too, when we did that CPA, so forth, if we can particularly talk about the one in Palmyra, the withdrawal point for the James River was different than what they're proposing now. The pipeline is going to run up and possibly even cover that school and going out 53 there, and that sewer line was going to go up. And all of that is in our infrastructure chapter now. And if we don't know if there's any chance of water coming to Palmyra, then we just need to take that out.
One of the goals, the goal specifically that we amended into the comprehensive plan, says to discourage connections to or extensions of the public water line into rural residential and rural preservation planning areas, if, and we're not certain what's going to happen with Palmyra as far as the CPA goes, and if we were to eliminate it completely, then there'd be no justification in the comprehensive plan to run public water through there, because it would no longer be, it would become either rural residential or rural preservation at that point. It's not one of the CPAs.
Well, it's not necessarily an either-or proposition. You know, the, having Palmyra as a community planning area, I think is a no-brainer, because it's got one of the biggest industries in the county in Palmyra, that is the county government. It's certainly a place that's going to have activity. Now, whether it has a lot of residential growth, whatever it might be, or a lot of industrial, a lot of commercial, it doesn't necessarily mean that, but it is in a very real sense one of the major nodes for activity in the county, and it's going to continue to be. So if you ask my opinion, I would say deleting Palmyra altogether as a community planning area would be a mistake. On the other hand, reviewing how the community planning areas are set up, what they contemplate, what they recommend, residential densities, residential volumes, volumes of commercial and industrial activities, those are certainly things that you ought to be considering. And I think there's certainly been a lot of people that have expressed interest in reviewing the Palmyra area to make it smaller and possibly less intense. And those are all related to these. They're not necessarily mandated by, but they're certainly related to these infrastructure concerns.
Within our comprehensive plan, we have conflicts there, because we said in the land use chapters the fact that we wanted the multifamily to be south and southwest of the village of Palmyra. In another section, I think it's in the community development section, and that may be just the opposite. It says that we wanted the multifamily in the Pleasant Grove area. So, you know, so it's kind of, we need to look at those and make sure what we want. And when we say things like that, we need to know whether that stuff is going to be, that's the real option.
Well, that's right. And, you know, as a practical matter, multifamily development doesn't make sense if you don't have public water and sewer. So, to a large extent, the infrastructure and the land use plans are going to be, to some extent, balanced and mutually causal, if you will. But if you know that there's not going to be, you know, water or sewer or rail service or, you know, whatever infrastructure you're talking about, if you know that it's not going to be there, then I wouldn't recommend having the land use plan recommend uses that depend on those things.
Sorry.
Let's go back to the blind hog thing.
It's 2 acorns in one night.
Fat enough for winter.
So I think what it comes down to is we need to find out where our resources will be. And then we can make the plan as to, okay, that's where a community area should be that incorporates multifamily.
And we could even
multifamily in this area clearly doesn't make sense to me, since we don't have the infrastructure and we don't have the, other than the government, we don't have the jobs local to this area, or even transportation. It's not our best transportation area, you know.
But that still wouldn't preclude having a CPA here.
Sure.
We just have to define what's included in that CPA and what type of development is envisioned, right?
Absolutely.
A little bit better than we have.
And I want to stress by that, I wasn't suggesting that we get rid of the CPA. It was sort of by way of preempting any suggestion that the CPA go away completely by pointing out that one of the consequences of that is that the comprehensive plan would call for it to no longer be eligible or for water and sewer to be discouraged from that area. If any other questions on any of this or anything that else that's been on your mind in regard to comprehensive plan?
Just the fact that I mentioned earlier about the transportation section, that is the next section, and I think we need to get that secure plan to incorporate it and look at, we need to look up, or I do, if we want to, the code for the comprehensive plan. It does have some specific things that we wish to consider about the transportation chapter.
Regarding transportation, I'm not an expert, but I don't believe every single one of these things that was called for in the previous iteration of the comp plan has been addressed. So it might behoove us to go through that on our own and see if there's any that are glaring examples that just were called for and not done, because they most likely, well, they need to be revisited, either put in the next one or accepted as being something that we no longer need. Are interested in.
Will you have any other questions, Mr. Stevens, as far as especially the water and sewer, which is one of his specialties and so forth like that, so that I think that my main thing is I want to know, so we can get on the same page with the board supervisors and what's available and what they're wanting to do. I mean, it also would help us to know that when we are working on the CIP, because all of that kind of melds together to a certain extent when we're working on that. We need to know where the money is needed to go from. And I think that next chapter would be economic development, and I think we probably need to get with Mr. Popovich about that and discuss that at length, because that infrastructure and the land use in a whole, and what we're talking about, Zion's Crossroads, and even Palmyra has something to do with the economic development.
As I think as Mr. Zimmer mentioned, this is a possibility a while ago that each section could have a discussion of the economic development. Each section certainly warrants one. So the two options that we never really decided were either to have economic development mentioned in each section or to mention each section in economic development. And I guess it would be really a question of taste and of what seems like it would be more efficient, and that's not something we need to decide now. But I certainly agree every chapter relates back to economic development in one way or another.
I think that's all we need to take. I'm not really sure which way we should go now about that, but myself, I mean, there may be other here, because there's a lot in this economic development chapter that actually talks about a lot of different things about education, real estate, all of that in conjunction with that chapter. So, and I know the weekly wages and so forth and all of these graphs in here are completely wrong now.
So, Jay, you're going through this, you know, strategy by strategy and changing, bringing everything up to date, aren't you?
Thus far, I've been trying to leave the strategies alone because I feel like those are more decisions of the commission. But the more of the
general
present
stuff.
Conditions and whatever I'm aware of that's coming up on the horizon, and then obviously all the statistics and things like that. As far as goals and objectives, I haven't touched those because I want to make sure they're.
So at some point, how will we attack them? So we go over them, you know, line by line? How do you want to do that?
Yes, I think that's a possibility. It's also, and if you found time or noticed one, you could always contact me at any point with it, and we can add it to the discussion and look at it. That was a little ahead of where I was at as far as a methodology. But yeah, I think eventually we will need to go line by line and look at each one.
Okay.
One possible way to do that we have discussed is, and Ms. Booker asked about this last week, was kind of raising the profile of the implementation section, having it not be so much of an afterthought. And the implementation section discusses all the goals of every chapter, and so that could be a good opportunity to go line by line with it and make sure to reason what you want.
Okay, because I mean, I've gone through just in this, the infrastructure, I see strategies that either have been accomplished or are ridiculous now.
Sure, absolutely. That's just something that I thought would be kind of presumptuous for me to go after.
Okay. Would it be helpful if we went over the infrastructure implementation strategies tonight, or do you think that's too soon to, without knowing where the water is going to go?
I think it's premature.
It's what, too soon? It's
premature, yeah.
Okay.
There are probably items that are going to eliminate that we're already taking care of, even in a lot of the other chapters, because of some of the things that we have actually taken care of.
Absolutely. And then, in addition, sort of priorities just have changed over 5 years, and things that may have seemed important at the time maybe aren't as important now.
Well, an example of this is Goal 3, to provide central sewer to the community planning areas. Number 2 says, extend the collection line of the Palmyra sewer system to connect to the infrastructure on Pleasant Grove to the sewer plant. This should include the proposed high school.
Yes.
That's clearly not possible. So, and so neither is the next one.
About expanding to 40,000.
Yeah. So just, you know, when we get to it, there are some, you know, things that stand out pretty clearly.
And just so that you know, you're under no obligation to wait until we get to a given chapter to bring any of that up or email the department. If you happen to be in the housing section and see that there's a problem, by all means, you can let us know, and we'll flip over the pages and take a look at that.
This infrastructure chapter ties into so many chapters that was why I was hoping we would do that real discussion about that. Like I said, I understand what the situation is, but once we get some of those answers, we can try to start tying that all together. Any other discussion on the infrastructure chapter or any other items that we need to talk about tonight?
Mr. Bibb, we have a work session date set aside on June 11th. In light of the busy schedule in June, I wanted to inquire what the commission's feelings were on continuing a discussion at that work session or continuing on into July, since that we are going to have a busy June with the comp plan meetings and everything.
I don't see how we're going to get close to meeting this deadline at December if we don't stay at
correct.
It. Even if that means you've got three or four meetings that week.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just don't see how we're going to possibly get this accomplished.
Looking at that schedule, it's just, it's so aggressive, and I'm not sure how we're going to even by what the Zeger says about us being on the left, how we can accomplish that. I really, going through this before, I know we get bogged down at certain points. Different things happen that are out of control.
It was always intended to be pretty optimistic, sort of a best case scenario.
Your product is more important than your timing.
Thanks,
exactly.
I can see if Mr. Stevens will be available at that time.
Okay.
And if not, then we'll continue a discussion of maybe the transportation section or something else.
Okay.
And we will get that information about the transportation section, the six-year plan, that also you were going to get us that information about the broadband stuff.
Yes.
Okay, if we don't want to have any more discussion about the comprehensive plan tonight, is there any other questions before we move on? Do we have any new business?
Mr. Chairman, let me mention one thing that came up at the board meeting, and I don't want to mention any names, but there were a series of comments made by a member of the public about a special use permit application. And the question was raised that a member of the commission had made certain observations about the use that were favorable to the use. And the member of the public who was speaking was really quite critical of the commission members' comments. And it was so odd to sit here and listen to him, because the comment was, well, when this member made these comments, it seemed to be very influential to the commission. And this was obviously not intended as a compliment. It was intended to be critical of the member and of the commission. I want to tell you what I told the board, and that was that a planning commission member is not only entitled to express an opinion about an application, that member is obligated to express those opinions. Now, obviously, you don't do it maliciously or falsely or whatever, but when you have an opinion about it, you are not only entitled to express them, but you're obligated to express them. And I made the observation that the members' comments appeared to me indeed to have been influential on the commission. And the commission was heavily influenced by it and ended up voting in favor of the application. The point being, I think a lot of people misunderstand your role, and they think that you should be totally dispassionate and totally unbiased, and I'm not sure how to get to any bottom line, because if you're a judge, you're not entitled to take a position. You're obligated to take a position. Your obligation is to be fair and even-handed and consider the evidence before you and what the law is and whatnot. Yours is similar. You have other considerations other than just the legal issues, but just in case this comes back to you, you hear this kind of comment in the community, in my opinion, that person was absolutely entitled to express an opinion. That opinion is absolutely wrong as to what your role is in the planning process. You are, as I say, not only entitled but obligated to give your opinions. And as one member of the commission listening to another one expressing an opinion, you are not only entitled but obligated to consider that opinion. You don't have to agree with it. You can disagree with it, but you're obligated to consider it.
And that was also during our planning commission discussion time.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
That person sent me an email, and I was kind of upset. I think she carbon copied you.
She did, and she raised it again at the board meeting. And I made a point of telling the board, I hope I didn't put it exactly this way. I told the board she was wrong, that there was nothing improper in that discussion. In fact, it was exactly the way the commission is set up to operate. So I just wanted to mention that to you so that you're not misled into thinking that you shouldn't be expressing what you think about these applications. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to vote for this one because, you know, that guy's a Democrat. That's probably not a bad idea, but you surely shouldn't do that. I keep thinking of these things. I was going to say he went to Harvard, but certainly you should vote against him if he went to Harvard. But you see what I'm saying. You can't say, I don't like that guy because he threw spitballs at me in high school. you know, that wouldn't be a proper consideration. But to say that use is too intensive to that property, or that use is perfectly appropriate to that property, that's exactly what you should be doing. And if somebody doesn't agree with you, that person has a right to disagree with you. And if he wants to get his opinion to carry the weight, then he ought to apply to be on commission in your stead. So I just wanted to bring that up and make sure you were clear where you stand with that, that sort of thing.
I think you're perfectly correct in all that you said. I discussed that with the planning department, and that was my thoughts about it too. I thought it was perfectly proper. It was done at the right time and so forth like that. Just because they had a different opinion kind of swayed their view of what the person was saying. They weren't happy with our decision and so forth like that. And I think that they also said that I only gave them 3 minutes or whatever. Actually, I think I actually gave them a little longer than that. So, when we have our discussion, we need to give our opinion. We're not group drink think. We need to each one of us give our individual thoughts. Anyone else have any other things we need to go over tonight? If not, we are adjourned at 8:12.
Yeah. 6 minutes.
You were part of the discussion.
Maybe I need to start.
But your comments were, I mean, good.
That's what I thought.
Same major could have. It wasn't, but it could have.
I was just trying to say, yeah. Okay, you brought up these things. I don't think it's concerning as much as you think it is.
Right, and I think one of the problems
all it does is with you.
They don't really understand
perspective. I mean, if you don't know the perspective,
they're not accountable. A citizen is not accountable for what he says. So
a barn.
You know, he thinks, and he feels strongly.
It's a big square building.
Not the way it ought to be.